You're listening to Antioch Center for the Nations. For more information, please visit www.antiochchurch.sg.
The title of my message is Our Foundation. And by definition, we know that a foundation is the basis or the groundwork for anything. The natural or prepared ground or base on which a structure rests. For instance, this building we're in right now, you are sitting on chairs that are resting on a foundation that is made of solid concrete so that it can support the weight of the building itself. Although this building has 12 stories, so you know that engineers, people who are trained to do their job, they knew exactly how to form the foundation perfectly so they could hold that weight. And it's the lowest division of a building that holds up all the walls. Any building or structure that is not laid upon a proper foundation will inevitably fall. That if this foundation is not adequate, and it is not exactly what the specifications of the engineers come up with, then it would, in a difficult moment such as an earthquake, tremors, or strong winds, it would not be enough to resist the movement, and therefore it will fall. Now, throughout the Bible, it speaks about foundations. It speaks about foundations physically that are used as an analogy, but of course we know that it's speaking about a spiritual foundation. But no matter how beautiful the building is, no matter how ornately designed, crafted, and made a structure is, no matter how costly the glass, the trimmings, the lighting, and everything is, all of it is worthless if the foundation is not sufficient. And one of the things about foundations is that it takes quite a while to lay that foundation. Most of you have lived in Singapore, and even when you live in other places, if you live or you are near a bigger city, they do these big construction projects. Here in Singapore, it's impossible to miss them. They're everywhere. I mean, we have construction company people right here tonight. Johnny's here, and he knows, of course, what I'm about to say is true. But you know from your perspective that you leave your house sometime and you see this lot that was once a field, and suddenly they put a wall around it, and maybe the name of a construction company, maybe a picture of the project they're working on, a pretty artist's rendition of what will be there. And so you see the pretty buildings and you just see a barrier. They do not show you what's going on behind that wall often. All you know is that you see vehicles going to this place. You see vehicles leaving this place. You see workmen arriving and departing, and they are busy doing things, but sometimes weeks will go by. Sometimes months will go by. And you see all of this activity, but you cannot see anything. You do not see a building at all. Sometimes 6 months, 7 months, 8 months go by, depending on the nature of the project, and still there's nothing but this little wall. And you start to think, what in the world are they doing? Because I've seen metric tons of material going in and out, and all this work, and all these people, day after day, even in the night, I see the glow of lights behind that wall. There's nothing there. Seems like it takes forever, and they're not doing anything. So then you forget about it, you stop worrying, and you go off on holiday, maybe a week or two, and you come back, and lo and behold, they're on the fifth floor, in just like a week and a half. And suddenly, before you know it, the building is, every time you come by, there's another level, and another level, and another level. And in what seems like a very short period of time, the entire building is there. Then they bring in the glass, they coat it, they do this, and what took all that time versus the building was the foundation. The foundation takes a very long time to make, because if it is not done correctly, if it's not done sufficiently, it does not matter what the building is, it does not matter what the structure is, it will not stand the test of time, it will not last. Now I look at ministries this way. Ministries that spring up quickly often fall as quickly. Churches that rise quickly and grow quickly. Sometimes people are rejoicing because they see, wow, look how fast that church is growing. But then if you fast forward a short period of time, you will find that often those same churches will suddenly disappear. They rise and fall, rise and fall. And one of the reasons for this is sometimes if the foundation is not correct, it does not matter how big it gets or what grows on top of that foundation, when the tests come and time passes, tribulation, persecution, difficulties, it will be for nothing because it didn't have an adequate foundation. We know this is true in the believer. If an individual comes to meet Jesus, they get saved, they're very excited, vibrant, energetic, enthusiastic believers telling everyone about Jesus, and you've all seen this, and then suddenly you go forward just a year and a half, and they're nowhere to be seen. They're backslidden. They go back to the world. They seem to disappear. And the reason is, in most cases, is because there was not a proper foundation laid under them. It does not matter how good they are. If their responses to the gospel, it does not matter how good they are at speaking, at prayer, at teaching, none of those things, if there is not a good foundation under them, they simply won't last. I thank God that I was in a church in my early years that truly believed in forming a very firm foundation. In fact, when I was born again at the age of 17, I went to Philadelphia Church, as it was called. Walked into the doors, the people greeted me, and in that very first service that I ever visited, someone came to me and said, "Are you enrolled in the foundation course?" And I said, I didn't know there was a foundation course. "Oh yeah, we need to get your name on the list." And I said, "Well, this is my first time visiting." They said, "Even better, we need to get you on the list." And I said, "Okay, I was open for anything." And sure enough, they put me on the list. They said, "Now, you're going to have to come early. The service is at 10, but we do the class at 9. So you have to come from 9 to 10 to go to that class." And I said, "Okay, but the service starts at 10. "Yeah, we know, but this is going to require a little bit more. We need you to come earlier." And so I did. After just a couple of weeks in that foundation program, they told me, "Well, actually, there's another level that you also have to connect to. And the way we do it in this church is we do it simultaneously. While you are doing this, also, if you start coming now at 8 a.m. on Sunday, from 8 to 9 you have this class, and then from 9 to 10 you have this class." And I thought, gosh, they're really wanting me to do a lot. But okay, I'll do it. And because they pressured me, they said, "You need to be in these classes." So I went to those classes and enjoyed them. Went through really important themes, things that we even cover in our program here. Spiritual authority, repentance, the Hebrews chapter 6, all those things. I went through these classes. And I thought, man, I'm really doing a lot of church stuff. I'm learning a lot. And then they told me, "Well, you know, we have these midweek teaching services. And we would like you, if you could, please come and enroll in these. We have a special course on this and a special course on that." And I thought, man, now they're really starting to take up all my time. This is all my time. But yet I felt the Spirit of the Lord was saying, "You need this. You need this," because God knew what my future would be. God knew where He was going to take me. But the people, the body of Christ, the elders, the leaders in the church, they were in a position to teach and, as our brother said, usher me toward my future. And without a foundation, I would have never been able to grow. I would have never been able to learn. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful I was in such a church. Not all churches are like that. Sometimes the service is enough. You go to this, they're just happy you show up. They want you to come and smile, put a little money in the offering, and God bless you. They don't even want to disturb you too much. They want to preach too hard to you because they don't want you to get uncomfortable or upset. They give you time. They give you so much. My church gave me no time at all. I have no time to do anything but learn. They indoctrinated me. They taught me. And I thank God for it. Look at this, what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which Christ, Jesus Himself, as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." So we see the importance that we are no longer just these foreigners or strangers wandering around out there, but we are brought into the household of God where we have to be equipped. We are all on our way to a future. We all have a great destiny, I believe. Everyone has a ministry. Everyone has a destiny. Everyone has a purpose that will be the building
of your future.
When I will finally be able to look at you and say, wow, now I see the levels coming. Now I see the glass. Now I see the painting. Now I see the beautiful lines and the architecture. That makes a lot of sense. And everybody's excited about that part of someone's life. But I, from my perspective, am far more excited about that foundation than anything else. I worked in construction for years. And during part of my time, I worked in construction with a big company that did foundations. Foundations as big as this building's foundation. I did a couple of projects with them. And I really enjoyed watching how much went into laying the foundations, because I could see that as an analogy of what God was doing in my life. Now, as I was studying this subject about foundations, about us being built, we know it's upon the apostles and prophets. A lot of people would think that, well, this means that the 12 apostles upon them, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and that's why they occupy the throne, and so on and so forth, that you think this means that. But actually, I believe this is speaking about ministry in general. Apostles and prophets, such as Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that the foundation that is put in you comes to you because in the church are those that are there to equip you to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. The ministry will be the building. The ministry is not the foundation. What you do, your fruitfulness, the evidence of your life, the difference that you make on planet Earth, that will be the building upon the foundation. But the foundation must be in place if you're ever going to get to that place. If you move quickly and you don't take the time to have a proper foundation, you can build all that you want, but I doubt it'll last. And that's where our priority should always be, on us being built up like this. On the foundation of the apostles, the prophets. Paul laid a very clear foundation in the churches. He wanted them to learn all of the details. He speaks about it. In fact, we're going to cover some of that. When I started looking at this Greek word for foundation and founding, both the verb and the noun, I'm not going to give you all the details of it, but it fascinated me to see a pattern that emerged as I studied in the morning. I had read these scriptures many times. You know these scriptures. But we're going to look at them, and in this message, I'm going to show you five interesting things about our foundation in God's kingdom. How many of you are interested? I don't want you to miss the opportunity to have a proper foundation. I want you to take the time and take the resources that are available to you in the body of Christ to be sure that that foundation is there. Don't worry about your fruitfulness. Don't worry about saying, well, you know, I'm sitting in these meetings, I'm learning, I'm being trained, but I'm not really doing a whole lot right now. It's okay for now. I'm not complaining about that. Your future will come, but the foundation comes first. Number one, our foundation is on the teachings of Jesus. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the way I like to think of the words of Jesus. The words of Christ are the material from which the foundation is made. The foundation is a solid surface upon which your whole future will rest, but the concrete of it, the material from which the foundation is formed, is what Jesus speaks. The Sermon on the Mount, the parables, all the red things in your Bible. If you have a red letter Bible, go look at everything red. And that is the liquid molten cement that is pouring into your life. The form, and that's what we called it in that business, you have to put the form up in which the cement rests so that it can take the right shape. That form is given to you, that structure is given to you within the house of God, within the church. We build that around you. We give you parameters, action time parameters, church services, all of that. But the words that are being poured out on you, you must receive. And at first it flows like a liquid. It is thick and viscous. It is part of the anointing of God. And it fills that place. And then later, if you retain it, if you hold it and you are patient, it will turn into a solid foundation. But the cement itself is what God speaks. God created all things with words, and words are the vessels of His power, the vessels of His healing, His authority. Everything comes from the words, and then the words are the catalyst for the manifestation of the healing, of the miracles. You believe the word, you believe the gospel, the words of Jesus that He spoke, then you confess those words, they become life to you. That's where our salvation comes from. That's where our futures come from. God speaks to you. He speaks His words about your future, your life. Jesus gives you a revelation. Then you take those words, you believe it, and you speak it, and you work it, and speak it, and work it, and speak it until it becomes a reality in your life. That's the material from which He's laying the foundation upon which you will do everything. So when we meet Jesus, we learn about His perspectives. This is the thing about Jesus. See, Jesus came to earth because earth is really messed up. And the people have totally missed the truth. The people's opinions are wrong. The people of earth, their opinions are wrong mainly because their perspective is wrong. What I mean by perspective is point of view. How did Jesus see things versus the way we see things? They said of Him, He teaches as one having authority, not like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, because of His perspective. Also, because of His perspective, He had a hard time understanding your perspective. Your opinions baffled Him sometimes, your worries, your concerns, your doubts, because from His perspective, everything was a done deal. Everything is complete. It's easy. When you're in eternity looking at time, everything is there. It's not a difficult equation to figure how success will come into someone's life, but He speaks His opinions to us in the Bible. Whether we receive them or not is up to us. Now, we have this mechanism inside of us. As we live life, we filter information that comes from people. Just like the words of Jesus, we hear the words of people. Words of teachers, the words of friends, the words of family. As we receive those words, we weigh them out, we consider them, we think about them, we filter words that the people utter, only allowing some of their ideas to alter the way we think. A good analogy is, it's like you go to the fair price or to the grocer or to the market, and there is a section there that has many fruits and vegetables. When you go, you do not remove every single fruit and every single vegetable off of the counters into many baskets and buy every single thing, right? I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. I've never done that. I don't go to the market and say, I want everything. I want every vegetable, every fruit. It's the same thing. Like when we hear people and they speak to us about opinions, about life, about counsel, anything, we have a tendency to pick and choose. And that's not a bad idea. We should be discerning. We should be careful. I like that. I don't know if I like that so much, but I like this. It's like picking the right avocado or picking the right watermelon. Don't you thump a watermelon? Who thumps here? You're a thumper? Yeah. You thump the watermelon, you wait, you see. I flip it over to the whiter part, and I thump and listen and see. I try to determine whether it's sweet or not. I'm not always accurate, but I don't buy every watermelon, take them home, and break them all open and lick them and see which one's sweetest. I try to discern, and I think that's how I work with people, too. I hear information all the time. I've been in many ministries, and this is a normal process, but this process is necessary, but the method should not be used with Jesus. With Jesus, you should take everything. Every single word. Everything He speaks. Because His words are not the words of man. His words are not bound to time. His words are not limited by what limits us in our opinions, simply because of the aforementioned perspective. He spoke as an eternal being from eternity. He says the only one that came down, having seen eternity, came and spoke from that perspective and taught His teachings and the parables and the analogies and all the words, and it's up to us to receive it. We must allow the words of Jesus to completely alter and transform our thinking and opinions about life. All things. Because if we use the same mechanism that we use with people, we read our Bibles, we see something, and we begin to think, well, that's nice, but I don't know if I'm quite ready for that. I like this passage. How many of you ever read parts of your Bible that are uncomfortable to you? Be honest. You know those passages that, ow, they hurt. And you tend to want to skip over them. If you become educated enough in the Bible, you know where the painful passages are and you learn how to circumvent them. If there's a certain issue present in your life, certain problem you're confronting, you know where not to go. Because you want to feel good, you want to feel happy, and so you pick and choose. Well, guess what? We're not allowed to do that if we really want to grow. If we really want to grow, if we really want the foundation, we cannot allow holes in the foundation. We must allow those words to transform. The washing of the water of the Word must happen in our minds. We'll change our opinions, change our perspectives. We have to turn off the filtering mechanism and let His words change us and be employed as the very foundation upon which we exist. The decisions that we make about our futures, the choices about ministry, everything has to be only what Jesus said. The material must be made. If I build a slab, and in that slab I say, you know what, I don't want to spend so much money because concrete is not free, you know. It can be quite costly. Depending on the grade of concrete, depending on the company who's bringing it in, it can be an expensive endeavor to lay a foundation. Sometimes you want to kind of skirt around the outside, make it cheaper. You don't want the solidity of it. I saw recently in China, they got someone that had put, China or Taiwan, they put cans, hollow cans, in part of the structure of the buildings so that it would not occupy cement there. And when an earthquake came, the building fell and it exposed it. It broke open. You could see they had cans occupying spaces. There were holes in the structure, the foundation of the building. And of course, it fell. When I worked in this construction company, I had this device that I used to wear like a backpack. But it was a petrol-powered machine. It had an engine about that big. It had a fuel tank under it on a metal rack. And two straps, and I would put it on my back, and out of the bottom of it came a long cable, a thick cable hooked to a very long solid steel rod, about that big around and that long. And they simply called it the vibrator. And then when they first told me about it, I thought, I don't know if I want to wear a vibrator. And they said, no, it's a thing to do the cement. So I put it on, and we would start it by pulling this thing, like a lawnmower. And then and then you would engage this thing that had something in it that spun so fast and made the metal rod shake like it hurt your hand. If you held it in the wrong spot, it hurt. Well, we would take that and then walk through the wet cement And when we would do it, it was so cool to watch the cement, suddenly you'd see bubbles pop up. Because air was trapped down in the cement, creating what they called, when we would remove forms, we'd get in big trouble. Whoever operated that machine, if they removed a form and they saw what they called honeycombs, where you could see the bubbles, you'd get in serious trouble. Because then they would have to hide it and come along when no one's looking and patch that with cement as a bad foundation. Why? Because there are holes in it. And I noticed that if you're not in a church or an environment, when the foundation is being laid in you, where the word is invasive and penetrates you and shakes you up from the inside, you'll end up with holes in your foundation. You need the word that goes deep. But when people don't want to disturb people, they want to let them feel comfortable. That's not a foundation that's going to hold because there's holes in it. There's spaces of air that are actually weakening the foundation and what its potential strength can be. Don't allow holes in your foundation. And so if I disturb you, sometimes I preach things that shake you. Or maybe the Holy Spirit comes on you and you literally shake. All He's doing is working out the bubbles. So that the cement can settle down, can be pressed down, shaken together. So that God's blessings will be on you and that you will have no weak points in your life. Amen? How many of you mind don't mind being shaken up sometimes? Yeah, invite the Word. Say, God, I want your Word to shake me loose. Whatever is inside of me, whatever bubbles are there, work them to the surface. I want every single hole filled. Number two, we must be committed to establishing our foundation. It takes a big commitment. Large crowds were traveling. This is Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, and before I go on there, remember that in the ministry of Jesus, he had thousands of people around him. There were a lot of people. There were thousands he fed at different times. Wherever he would go to a certain place, people would follow him for a while. Not all of them followed closely. Not all of them had the time that was necessary for a real foundation to be laid. Some would just listen for a while and then move along. But here this crowd is traveling with Jesus, and they're turning to them. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? If you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. In other words, it takes a commitment. Any construction project takes a big commitment. Early on, when I first started doing little projects and little jobs, I had to learn that. Because sometimes you get into a job you think is going to be easy, it turns out to be a lot harder than you thought. And you learn in the process. I did roofing, I did walls, I did plumbing, I did electrical work, I did lots of things, made lots of mistakes, learned along the way. I was not officially trained, my family was in construction, but I learned if you do any kind of construction, if you do any foundation, you have to be very committed to it, and it takes a lot. Now what Jesus is saying here to the people, as they're coming, he's letting them know, look, I know you're following me, I know you're listening to me, but if you really want to be able to last, if you want to endure, you're going to have to change some things about the way you receive information. He did not mean for them literally to go straight home and tell their mother, father, wives, and children, I hate you. He meant for them to prioritize information. Remember, we talked about perspective. Because we live in a place where, in fact, there's a couple of challenges as I see in this passage. The first challenge is to our commitment to laying a new foundation is that the people around us, especially our families, our friends, they speak things. And what our family has taught us, that is culture, society, the customs around us, and whatever nationality you are, you're from different places, you know that you learn things specific to that culture, specific to the people around you. Your family has its traditions, they tell you things, and how many of you have already realized that sometimes those traditions are not really coordinated with God's words? Yes. Yes. And it does not match what Jesus teaches.
Yes.
And so you are put in a difficult position to have to change the way that you live, the way you think, and therefore by extension the way that you speak and express your feelings. And though you are trying to be kind, it may get to the point where your divergence from their opinion that they think you should live this way, act this way, do these things, but you're trying to implement the teachings of Jesus, they will rise, there will be difficulty, and that's exactly why he tells them this. If you want to come follow me, if you want to be a part of this. The second challenge really is that our commitment to laying a foundation is being willing to endure the inevitable pain and suffering that will come, equal to like bearing the cross. Jesus was committed to finishing the project of the Father, which involved him being nailed to a cross. He knew it was going to be painful. He did not necessarily want to do it, but he was committed. He said, if it's possible, let this pass. But if not, I'll drink it. I'll drink the cup, and I will fulfill my purpose. And that's a challenge for us sometimes, because when we are laying this kind of foundation, changing the way we think, the way we act, it's going to cause trouble. People who love you, because this is one thing I've found out, man, all men, in general, only accept and love the people that they can control. You understand? if they lose control of you, it alarms them, it disturbs them, and the only response they have to that is that what you're doing is wrong. If it is coming to Christ, within many cultures where I've lived and worked through the years, in India, I live there, I never say the word convert. They're the words you just can't speak in India. The 6 years I spent in Maharashtra, working in the villages, through all those areas, teaching those pastors, I brought hundreds of pastors in together. We did lots of training, did lots of things, and it's a very challenging environment. Same thing here in Singapore. Those coming from Buddhist families, those have these ideals, these principles, holidays come around, suddenly you don't feel good involving yourself in some of the things you used to involve yourself, well, persecution is going to rise. Why? Because man loses control over you. And they don't like that. When someone cannot control you, they will often hate you and even sometimes want to destroy you. Jesus said, the enemies that you have are the people of your own house. Why? Because when the foundation comes, whatever other foundation was there has to be destroyed. If you already had a mindset, you already had a thinking process, your perspective being earthly, your opinions being totally terrestrial, they're connected to earth, they're not eternal. Jesus speaks his word, you accept it, you get in a good church where you're being indoctrinated, you're being taught, your mind is going to change. When you start to speak those changes, people are not going to get it, and persecution will come. And both of these challenges are hard to overcome, but we must be committed to laying the right foundation for eternity. Just commit yourself to it. There are seasons, of course, there's hard seasons, but there will always be a reward that follows. Just fight through it. Fight to do the best that you can to live at peace with all men, the word says. You do all that you can, but do not miss the opportunity to change the way you think, the way you act, as a foundation is laid. If not, I'm telling you, one of the reasons why many believers do not successfully have the structure built in their lives, the ministry, the fruit that God is looking for, because of these reasons, because the foundation is not mixed properly. In fact, if you don't mix the cement right, with the right aggregate, cement, sand, and water in the right ratios, then that cement basically like a big sandbox. It cannot solidify properly. It can be too weak, and they do tests, and they crush it and see if it's the right mixtures. And, you know, I don't want to get into the technicality of it all, but make sure that you are receiving your cement recipe from the Bible and not what other people. Don't come mixing other things in there. Yeah. Well, you know, the cement, it'll be easier to use the cement if we just dump a bunch of styrofoam peanuts in it. Now, there's sometimes they do mix styrofoams, but I'm talking about a foundation upon which a lot of weight will be laid, which is your future, your life. Amen. Let's go on. Number three. Our foundation is unique and specific. Romans 15:17. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. And this is interesting because we know that the Apostle Paul had some really wonderful understanding about spiritual life. But his call, the chosen instrument that the Lord said he was very unique and specific for the Gentiles. And also for the Gentiles of his age and his generation and his time. Because when it comes to foundations, you want to make sure that you are receiving the unique and specific foundation that is for your future. And this is where Paul knew that. He understood by revelation from Jesus directly what the right foundation was. In fact, he even said, it was not taught to me by men, but the Lord Jesus himself, by revelation, spoke to me, and he gave me basically his paradigm, his intellectual property, if you would, of his teachings, What he believed, what his doctrines were, came from Jesus. Jesus tutored him in that respect. Later, he spent time with some great men of God. He spent time with mentors and leaders. And they put a lot of information in him, but he was unique, he was specific. And really, the church world of his day was full of people with wrong ideas. There were conflicting problems, even with Peter. He said, well, Peter is a great guy. He's one of the pillars of the church in Jerusalem. He was one of Jesus' best guys at the inner circle of the three, Peter, James, and John. Peter came, but Peter came with a different foundation. Because his foundation was built on another perspective and concept that was relative to his ministry to the Jews. And this is where you also have to be careful. You have a future. You're going to build something, but make sure that you have the right kind of foundation. Of course, Jesus' words are always perfect. Anything Jesus said, take it. But when we get with earthly teachers and they have perspectives and ideas, we have to make sure that we receive that unique in specific foundation that God wants to give to us. Now, this is why I never pressure people to be in my church. I never pressure people to be in my programs. I don't go out and recruit people and say, you have to be in this program, you have to be trained by me, because I am very unique and specific in the way that I lay foundations. In fact, a lot of people, they will come here. If you have been in other teachings for a long period of time, you're an older Christian, and you come here, I welcome you, but you're also a difficult task for me. Because you carry a lot of stuff. I like the brand new Christians. I like the babies in Christ. They don't know anything. And so they're a blank piece of paper. They're a new canvas waiting to be painted on. And the information that I teach, it's easily received. They're like, this is great. You're like I was in my home church. I was just saved. I went in. I didn't know anything at all. Teach me. And I was able to receive everything that they gave me. But sometimes when we wander around from place to place through the years, it's natural. If God brings you to a place, sometimes He has to do some foundation repair. If you have something wrong with your foundation, God can fix it. In Louisiana, where I'm from, it's very moist ground because we have swamps and we have bogs, if you would. There are marshes, river, rains heavy there. And we have, in New Orleans specifically, our foundations are thicker than if you just go a little further north and a little up the road, the building codes change because the ground is solid. But where we are, we have to dig what they call a chain wall. Even for a one-story house, you need a chain wall, solid, deep. That deep cement from that is the border of the structure for the load bearing, and then the regular slab is laid on the inside. But if you go just an hour and a half up the highway, you don't need that chain wall because it depends on the ground, right? So that's a unique foundation for what? A unique environment. If God's calling you to a specific place as a specific minister, you're going to need some foundation laying. If you're going to be an evangelist, you need to have an evangelist lay some foundation in you. If you're going to be a pastor, you need a pastor to lay a foundation in you. Because it's specific to that call. Now, the general things of Jesus are important. Paul knew this, and Paul said, look, I would rather not have to go and try to teach people that have already had someone laying a foundation in, because it's going to be three times the work that it would be otherwise. He said, forget it, it's not worth the trouble. Just give me a bunch of people that have never heard about Jesus before. That way I can come in and fresh start and do it. It's a lot easier to build a structure from scratch, from the beginning, than to remodel. I've done both. I've done renovations. I've done remodeling. It's hard to go in and pick and choose, and you leave some things. But see, it's a lot more challenging. I loved it when we just come up to a bare lot. And we just had to dig and lay the forms and then the slab and then the footing and then the wood, because we built things out of wood and siding. It was great. Easy. And each of us has been specifically, uniquely designed by God for exact functions and tasks in His kingdom. Therefore, it's important that we have the correct foundation to keep us stable through the years. Now, the foundation that I lay, like I say, it came from 7 years. I have the book, The Core. I have The Core somewhere around here. In that book, That's pretty much my foundation that I teach people. I bring people here every year. Some of you, my students, you know this. And we sit in this room 5 or 6 hours, 4 days a week, week after week after week, hour after hour, for 3 months. And I teach you all the stuff in that book. And you can see the book back there. That book, it's all printed there. You say, what is that? That is 7 years of my life that I wrote down, the foundation that God told me to share with the people I train. Now, there are many foundations out there. As long as they're built on the words of Christ, they're made from the right material. But as I said a moment ago, the form and fashion of that foundation is specific sometimes to where you're going. What culture will you be working in? Will you be working in Asia? Will you be working in Africa? Do you want to go to the United States of America? If you were called to go to the United States of America as a missionary, I can help you. I would put a separate, different foundation in you because I know what you would need in my country. Same for India. You go to India, we have some brothers back there. They would know exactly what to teach you. You must understand in India, it's like this. They will tell you exactly. They will teach you, train you, and help you so you know how to interact with the people in that culture. If you're going to Japan, yeah, you need to, I would recommend you talk to my son. You would talk to the limbs here. Talk to people that have been on the ground working where they found out they had a foundation of understanding and ideas that did not quite work. So they had to dig some holes, change things, relay things. You go into Germany, a foundation that would work in Singapore might not work in Munich. It might not be the same as you already know. It's not. Now, the basics are true. I think you get my point. When someone comes to me with many thoughts and ideas from other places and other things, it's difficult. I say, look, just put it all on the side. Let's start over. But it's not always easy to do that. I like new believers. I like teaching new believers. Number four. Now, as we grow, our foundation requires many builders, or better, actually, I should say, the building upon our foundation requires many builders, because, you know, Paul once mentions that you have many teachers, but not many fathers. I heard Pastor Das speak of his mentor, his pastor. You get a sense, when you hear a man of God speak and reference certain key people, there's not a lot of them. It's usually one or two. For me, it's three. I had some great major mentors. And the ones that really impacted me, there's just a few. And every day I think of their words. Every day I think of what they put into me. They were builders. But my foundation is only really connected to one church and one pastor and one group that laid that foundation. But later on, after the foundation was firm enough and I grew, then other mentors came and they started building structure to my ministry, to my ideas, to my concepts. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. In other words, take care about what's being built on that foundation. You may have a great foundation, but now it is your obligation to be cautious about what kind of structures are being put on it. Make sure that it is up to the specifications that God once for your future and how he's developing you. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now he's reducing it to the most important element of our foundation. As I said earlier, the material from which it's made are the words of Jesus. So this is it. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, he's speaking about all the materials that you can use in the building itself. From place to place I go, buildings are made in Japan. The buildings are very thin and light. It's like you could just punch a hole through the wall. The only thing like it are caravans, campers and trailers in America. In fact, the first Japanese homes I went into in Tokyo, as they are today, I thought, this is like a camper, like a caravan. It's got that light feeling to it, because they are prefabbed homes, because they'll build a home in like 3 days. It's just crazy. They come in, truck in all the walls, and it's like a Lego set. And they just build it, bolt it together. So that's different materials, but the foundation is pretty much the same as anywhere. And so we see this issue, if anyone builds on, they'll use different materials, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. In other words, people are going to contribute to your life, but what they taught you, sometimes people teach you things and you get excited about it, you receive it, but then you go through the fire and it's gone. Someone may have built out of solid steel some of the parts of your structure. The fire can come, that steel is not going anywhere. It might get some scorching on it, but it remains. But somebody may have come and put some particle board partitions on there. Someone may have even come and put a grass wreath on your door as a decoration. Just a breeze can blow that away. And it goes and is gone. And this is what you find out. Sometimes you learn things that you feel really excited about. You think this is the greatest revelation you've ever heard. And then the fire comes and it's gone. And then you go back to your roots again. And you realize what really matters. But I say keep learning. Learn as much as you can. But I would rather invest my time and energy into some really good builders that don't do things that are shoddy workmanship. And I hear shoddy workmanship preachings all the time. I go to YouTube and listen to thousands of them. It's wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. And sometimes they look nice. Sometimes they're dressed nice. Some of these craftsmen have beautiful suits on and they're in beautiful auditoriums. But honestly, they're building with hay. Grass structures. Piling sheaves around you. And it's not going to last. Because it's not always popular. And it's more expensive. The higher quality of the material, the more you're going to have to pay for it, which means endurance and time and patience. But I recommend that you only let those master builders build on the foundation. A lot of teachers have come along, not many fathers. Time and testing of life will prove which teachings were true to eternal values and which were not. And Paul understood that if the foundation was in place, there was safety in relation to eternity. Do you notice what he says toward the end of this passage? That he says, in the end, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Even though only as one escaping through the flames. In other words, even if the flames come, even if you learn things and it goes away, don't panic. Your foundation is still there. You have a right foundation. One thing I have found is I have grown, I've had many doctrines, many ideas. And really, in 1995, April 7th, 8:45 a.m., the Holy Spirit came to me in a visitation. He basically was a tsunami and removed the house completely. All that was left was a foundation. But the foundation never moved. The things I learned in my early years, my first loves, simple, basic principles, Word of God, prayer, evangelism, fellowship, the necessity of assembling ourselves together. Basic principles, those remain. The Holy Spirit took all the fluff and all the wood and all the hay and all the stone and just wiped it off the face of the map, and I rebuilt upon the foundation that never moved. Years ago, April of 2011, following the earthquake in Sendai, Japan, and the tsunami, I had an opportunity to go in. And, of course, when the tsunami hit, I'll never forget, my son was watching the news through the night. I had already gone to sleep. He had already been called. He felt that call for Japan for quite some time. And I woke up in the morning. I found him distraught. Eyes were swollen and red. He'd been crying all night. And he said, "Father." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, thousands died. And I wasn't there yet to tell him about Jesus, because he had that call in his heart. He said, thousands. And he was out of his mind. He was saying, thousands, they're gone. They're never coming back. And he says, I need to go now. And we had a scholarship fund. We had things set up, all that. And he just, there's no way. He was not going to be able to live another day without going to Japan as a missionary. So we began immediately to make plans. We prayed, and God led us on the 24th of April in 2011. We had our tickets We went in there. Before we went, I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to help somebody. My prayer was very specific. I said, Lord, lead me to someone who lost everything, but is still alive. I want to help them. Because, you know, when you are confronted with such a disaster, you're going to have to focus on one or two. There's no way. Just do a small part. Do whatever you can. And I prayed. I said, God, lead me to someone who's lost everything. And I got more specific because that's thousands that lost everything. I said, lead me to a Christian who lost everything. Now, that is tens of thousands, maybe. Hundreds of thousands lost everything. It was an unbelievable disaster. It spread all the way down the coast. And I said, just lead me to a Christian. Then I took it a step further. I said, Lord, I need to find a Christian pastor who lost everything. And that's who I want to help. Now that narrows it down a little bit. And so we prayed. And by a long story and divine intervention, a friend of mine knew someone who 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 was a Christian pastor in Sendai who lost everything. He lost his house, he lost his church, he lost all his possessions, everything. And by the way, that chain, I worked my way through in like a 24-hour period. It was supernatural. God found that man. He knew. As soon as I said, Lord, I want this person, God says, I got the man. And he lined it up, and so we arranged to go in. We were able to go and visit. And I never forget what I found there. The pastor was an amazing man. And he was the seaside chapel, community chapel church in Sendai. And if you go on Google, I have a video of it. I'm not going to show you right now. But if you go on Google before and after, it's astounding. It's like a complete subdivision of beautiful homes. And the after, it is completely gray. Everything is gone. Everything. Just that tsunami came. In fact, his story was that when the earthquake came, it was very strong and it shook with such violent force. But the code of buildings actually in Japan is high and very earthquake resistant. So the building did not fall. Some things fell off of shelves. Immediately after the earthquake, the tsunami warning started sounding. Again and again. And so he quickly put his family together. He said, you guys just go to the high, because you can go up to the mountains where the tsunami would not reach you. They went and left. And then this pastor stayed there at the church, which was also his house. His house was in the rear. The church was in the front. And he put things back on the shelves. He cleaned up the little bit of glass that had broken. He tidied up. And he was waiting to see what would happen, because the alarm does not mean a tsunami is coming. It means there's a potential of a tsunami. So he finished, he was kind of tired and stressed, so he sat down at his table in his house and he decided to just read the Word of God. And he opened the Bible and he said he just randomly felt like just read the Bible, grabbed it off the shelf, put it on the table, and it fell open to the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And his eyes fell immediately on the actual verse that said, quickly leave and do not look back. When he read this, he said that the chances of it falling open to exactly that passage, reading exactly at that time, he said it was pretty obvious. Besides the fact, when he read it, he says he felt his heart boom, 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 beating very hard. His hands started shaking. He jumped up. He found his keys. He got his things together. He could still hear the alarm on the outside. He went outside. He got in his car. He started his car. And so far, there's no tsunami. He backed up out of his driveway, and he adjusted his rear view mirror in his car. And in his own words, he said, when he looked up into the rear view mirror, he had to look twice because there was a 10 meter high wall of water coming down the street. And just enough time, he put the gas on, peeled out the wheels, took off down the road. He said, just like in a Hollywood movie, that tsunami chased him down the street. And he just made it out. Now he makes it out there. He gets to where his family is. Thank God. God got him out of there right on time. That wave came. By the way, a rushing 10-meter high wall of water. Nothing's going to stand against that. It absolutely wiped out the entire community. That coastal region of Sendai was just erased. The water went back. When it did, all it left was debris, and the only thing remaining were foundations. He came back to his church. He, one of the first people on site, after the government gave him the permission to go back in, he went there, and he said everything was gone, except for one thing left from the church. There was a portion of wall that had a cross in it that had fallen and was still there. And the cross off of the steeple of the church had fallen and was embedded in mud and buried, whereby he dug it out. As soon as he got there, he dug it out, he erected it, he put stones around it, he got blocks and he got wood, and he made church benches. I actually have pictures of this. Amazing. He made church benches. He set up a church. And as soon as the people started coming back to see what had happened to their homes, they were distraught, distressed, weeping, crying. They lost everything. Some of them lost people. Most people escaped from that area, but all their possessions were gone. Devastated. And they came, and he had already set up a makeshift chapel on site. And he would see people crying over their properties. He would go get them and bring them and gather them and tell them and encourage them. And many of his neighbors, many people, Shinto Buddhists, for years had never gave him even the time of day and wanted nothing to do with him because of what he was, gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, prayed to receive the Lord. That man, maybe everything was gone, but his foundation remained. I went there to encourage him, right? And I was talking to him. I had this feeling. I was going to maybe put my arm around him and encourage him. No way. He encouraged me. He said, brother, you know what? He says, I am the happiest I've ever been in my life. I said, I have seen more fruit in my ministry from this tsunami than I have in all the years before. He says, this is the day of salvation. And I said, this guy is awesome. I was so excited to know him. And he's such a beautiful man. I said, can I go tell you a story? And he said, yeah, I came back to Singapore. I told everybody. I talked to a bunch of pastors. We raised thousands and thousands of dollars. Immediately, I set it up, sent the money. We rented him a coffee shop that was no longer in operation for 1 year. We paid 1 year of rent for that coffee shop for him to meet with his congregation there until his house could be rebuilt. And we also, any money we got after that, we gave him 100% of it. We just put it into his ministry. And so now, again, there is that community church is there in a mission, but they don't want to build a big church there for reasons that I think we can understand. But his foundation, the tsunami came. It could, see, waves will come, trials will come, difficulties will come, but your foundation remains. And he put on top of that foundation, all he had to do was put some blocks and some boards and stick that cross back up, and he was back in operation within an hour. Because the foundation remains. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what you go through, if you have a firm foundation, no matter what comes, no matter what trials, no matter what difficulties, we end with this last one, number five. Our foundation is just the beginning of our spiritual life. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teaching about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. So, very simply here, the foundation is laid. We learn things early on, but then it is time for us to move beyond. When the foundation, if you build a really good foundation and that's all you have and you never build on it, well, that's kind of a waste too. Once the foundation is there, you need to build on it. The foundation is the start and the base of all that we will become in Christ and in service to Him in the kingdom. There are many missions, many tasks, many jobs that He will give us, and we will earn our rewards, we will earn our crowns, we will carry those things into eternity. The things that matter are the things that we build. And unless the Lord builds the house that is His purpose, His counsel, then our labor is all in vain. Let God lay that foundation. You say, you know, I don't know if I ever really had a good foundation laid. Well, you have a chance every year here. Every year, June, July, and August, we lay foundation. And we lay it deep. Takes a commitment, though. The students that come to it, they know you don't just pop in and pop out. You have to pay attention. You have to sit. You have to learn. You have to listen. But the ones that graduate and go on, they have a firm foundation. They get out there and hear the crazy stuff and the wild doctrines, and they're like, no. That's a bunch of boom. They know because the foundation is firm. They're strong in the truth and in the doctrines of Christ. Everything starts with what we believe, the changes we make. These are the five things we see. Our foundation. Number one, our foundation is on the teachings of Jesus. It's the material from which the foundation is made. Number two, our foundation requires our commitment. You know, I will tell you statistically, this is what I saw in my early church. People coming into the church same time as me, they did not continue in the programs of the church. They would show up for like the first teaching, and the next week they had something to do. They weren't there. And the way my church did it was if you missed it, you missed it, you'd have to start at the next renewal. Because you needed to precept upon precept, line upon line. And so then they would wait, okay, next time they'd come back, they'd maybe go to one or watch them. Because we had a foundation series actually was starting like every 3 weeks, every month. A new level would start. You could go in and start on the levels and work your way up. And they wouldn't. Many of them did not commit to it. And to this day, I don't know where they are, but they certainly never went into ministry. I don't even know if they're saved anymore. That's a sad situation. We saw number three, our foundation is unique and specific. It's going to be unique to your call, unique to what God is doing with you. So make sure that the person that God is using in your life to lay foundations is the one that is laying the proper foundation. And if you've had a shoddy foundation laid, we can help you. In my home state, because of that marshy land, I didn't finish telling you that story, slabs will break because the ground will shift under them. And if they do, we do these cable things where they'll actually drill holes through and run cables and tighten slabs back up and repair them. There's foundation repair companies. So I can do that. I can repair foundations. No matter what doctrines you've learned, no matter what you've been through in the past, I can help you out. We can help that foundation become as the Lord requires, according to the truth of His Word. And our foundation requires many builders. I'm happy. If you already have a foundation, and it's a good one, and there are many master foundation layers out there, I'm happy to be the one that helps build on it. But if you come to me to build on that foundation, I'm not using wood or hay or straw. I'm using solid steel. I'm going to put girders and beams together. I'm going to weld them into you. You're never going to get rid of them. If you don't want that kind of workmanship, then you're in the wrong place. Number five, our foundation is just the beginning of our spiritual lives. We're just getting started. God lays the foundation. He's moving you forward to do some amazing things. And it's going to be great to see the work. You say, well, how long is it going to take? How long will it take for me to be able to have that foundation laid? I don't know. It depends on each individual, the rate that you grow. Different projects take different lengths of time. I find, actually, for a really good structure to be built, about 30 years. And I'm talking about a real structure, a real ministry. And that's one of my mentors used to tell his daughter. You just keep your nose straight, and you just go on and just stay on your foundation. In about 30 years, you have a ministry. I said, no, I want a ministry now. Yeah, well, you can serve right now. You can do a lot. You can grow. But to have really the kind of fruit that God wants to give you, it's not overnight. It takes a long-term commitment. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Antioch Center for the Nations. If you would like to support our efforts, please consider making a donation at www.antiochchurch.sg. Thank you.